As we have moved through our stewardship series to this point, we've had members of this congregation come and share a little bit about their experience with stewardship in this church. Partly that's good because most of you have been here longer than I have. And partly that's good because it's important to hear from even more voices, especially on something as important as stewardship. So I'd like to invite Jeff Merrill to come, and he's prepared a few words to share about the stewardship of presence in the church. I said last time, Jeff, that you said a lot of the things that I thought that I might say, but it turned out I preached long enough anyway. So you're welcome up here. And
hi, so I'm Jeff Merrill, and I've been a member of this church for 5 years. I was introduced to the church by my wife, Rachel, then girlfriend, about 7 years ago. We were married by the former pastor on a beautiful fall day like this, right here on the beach in San Diego. There are a lot of reasons why we're all here on any given Sunday and even other days of the week. I'll tell you mine. It's because everything here feels non-judgmental. I don't see or feel any critics or evaluators or assessors when I walk in these doors, and I like that. So now for why am I up here today? I was asked to speak during this stewardship series about presence. Being a pretty literal person, I looked up the definition of presence. And it said the state or fact of existing, a person or thing that is present in a place but is not seen. Of course, who is the first person I thought of after reading that definition? That's right, God. You see, for me and for a lot of you, I'm sure you feel God, you feel His presence. You feel His presence today in church, and you feel His presence out in your lives, sometimes more than others, but nonetheless, He is always there. Simply put, and again, being very literal, when you think of the word presence, you think of God. Now, in everyday thinking of our everyday lives and presence as it relates to us and our family and our community and our friends, it means being there, right? Being present. Whether you're showing up for a job interview when the other candidate didn't show up, or you showed up to the courthouse to get out of the speeding ticket when the officer didn't show up, or you just show up to volunteer when others found an excuse not to. To me, that's what presence is for us. It reminds me, remember when a parent or a school teacher or a mentor just told you, just show up? Anybody, has anyone ever told you guys that? Just show up? Be present. It's still great advice, actually, for anyone. It's amazing what can happen just simply by being there. To me, that's presence. I'd like to share with you a letter. It's from a nurse to her colleagues regarding the gift of presence. Nurses have the awesome privilege to combine knowledge and skills with the gift of presence during times of joy and grief. We are given the opportunity to be with individuals at some of the greatest times in their lives and also some of the most tragic. This is a privilege that carries great responsibility. This holiday season, many of our colleagues will be present as a new life enters this world, while others will be holding the hand of someone who is dying. Many will be present when families face tragedy or devastating diagnosis. Some will have the opportunity to share a day with a child who is unable to be in his or her own home. So wherever you may be on these special days, consider it an honor and privilege to be present, as we'll be praying for you as you demonstrate care and compassion to those who need it most. So in conclusion, as we reflect on our stewardship series, let's think about presence this week. Human connection, and God's presence. Remember to show up. go to your kid's game, visit a friend, do something you don't have to do, volunteer, or just be there for someone. And you know God will be there.
Thanks, Jeff. This past summer, after moving here to San Diego, Beth and I had the opportunity to go to the San Diego Pops, the Ray Charles tribute, and then at a separate time, I had the opportunity to go from some others, a couple of folks from this congregation, to the again to the Summer Pops, to the Johnny Cash tribute, and there was something that I noticed about both of those two things that was really wonderful, and Jeff touched on it a little bit. I noticed that the orchestra, for both of those two nights that I was there, and we were close enough that we could see that this was the case both, it seemed like, well, it didn't seem like, it was true that everyone in the orchestra showed up. It was good. It would have been a completely different show if it was just the artist supporting Ray Charles or Johnny Cash. And without the orchestra, like, I can see a Johnny Cash impersonator pretty much at will, right? There's a place to go find that, or a Ray Charles impersonator or tribute artist, and you can find some of those artists in a lot of different places. But with a full orchestra, that makes the experience very different. So that's what I noticed, is the orchestra showed up. But here's the other thing I noticed. See, I remember being there at both of these concerts, and the orchestra is up there playing, and the artists are up there offering tribute. And when I turned around, you see the audience showed up too. You see, and that's important. If the audience didn't show up, it would have just been a rehearsal. But imagine any time that you may be a performer, you may be an artist, you might be someone who offers something to others. Some sort of gift. Is it the same if nobody's there to receive it? I think maybe it's not. And I'd like to read a scripture to you, and this is out of the book of Acts, that will help us explore a little bit the idea of the stewardship of presence. This is out of the 16th chapter of Acts. I'll start with verse 25. This is about Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas have been arrested. So they're in prison. Now, I feel fortunate that I've never been in jail before. Yet I'm surely not the only kind of person, right? There are people perhaps in this room who have been, for one reason or another, imprisoned before. What I can tell you is that I've visited folks in jail. And what a lonely place that is. The sound of doors closing and locking as they echo down hallways. And even just in the visitor sections where I've been, it's lonely. And I can't imagine what it must be like in those hallways with rows and rows of cells in isolation. It must be a desolate place. And it's this kind of place where we find Paul and Silas. And so I'm surprised at the first thing that happens. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. In a place so lonely and desolate, I can't imagine even thinking about God other than, God, I gotta get out of here. But to be in prayer and praise and singing, it fills me with wonder. I have no idea how they can do this. And the prisoners were listening to them. Now, this makes sense to me, because if I were in a place like that and feeling that sense of loneliness, if someone else were able to move beyond, to transcend that loneliness, that desolation, in such a way that they could pray, such a way that they could sing, I might see that as a light of hope in darkness. And it seems as though Paul and Silas offer that to others. Suddenly there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. Now, we live in Southern California, and most of us have experienced an earthquake from time to time. You know, when I think earthquake, the first thing I think of is the 94 earthquake that was centered in Northridge, because I lived in Santa Clarita at the time, just a stone's throw away from Northridge. And I remember waking up early that morning to violent shaking and how terrified I felt. I lived with my dad at the time, and I remember walking out of my room and into the living room and seeing my dad walk through his hallway and out into the living room. And I remember seeing this line of blood that had just come straight down his forehead. You see, my dad loves to read, and he had all these bookshelves over his bed. He doesn't have bookshelves over his bed anymore. But how terrifying that was. Now, I don't know how common earthquakes are throughout the Middle East. But can you imagine an earthquake so violent that it shakes the foundations of the prison, that it's so violent that it knocks the prison off of its foundation, that it's so violent that it even unlatches the chains around people's wrists and ankles? Can you imagine how terrifying that must be? So put this sense of loneliness and desolation on top of this sense of fear from this earthquake, and imagine what it must be like to be in that place. Well, here's what happens next. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. See, his sense of duty was so strong that if they had escaped, he might as well end his life rather than face that humiliation. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. And he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. When morning came, the magistrate sent to the police, saying, "Let these men go." Now, often in stories, and we've talked about this before, it's helpful to put yourself into the story, and I wonder how we might feel if we were to put ourselves in the story as one of those prisoners. To hear in loneliness and darkness a sound of hope and peace. How that might wear away at the desolation, that might wear away at the loneliness, might wear away at the fear. I wonder what it might be like to put ourselves in the position of the jailer. Filled with such fear that we might be close to calling it quits. And then immediately to be filled with hope. Why? Because somebody shows up. Now, we understand an idea of showing up. And I like the way that Jeff illustrated it, and I'd like to take it a little bit further. And I'd like to use, if you'll forgive me, a sports analogy. I do like sports. By the way, the Chargers are losing. Sorry. But I want to draw this not in terms of today's game, but the last Super Bowl. See, I was watching the Super Bowl as a Broncos fan, so it wasn't a good game for me. And we might say, well, you know, at least they showed up, right? On the other hand, they showed up, but it doesn't seem like they really showed up, right? Like they were there physically, but all the rest, maybe they hadn't shown up. But I think that translates to a way we might think about our presence in worship. Because if we come to worship, but then we take a nap during the sermon, have we really shown up? If we come to worship and we isolate ourselves, we don't talk to anyone, we don't enjoy a cookie, we don't shake hands with the greeter, we don't peruse the bulletin and the announcements. Like, we're physically here, but have we shown up? What about Paul and Silas? They were physically imprisoned. What if they had isolated themselves? What if they just sort of withdrew into their shells? Didn't offer prayer to God. Didn't offer those songs of praise, those hymns. would they have been that light of peace and hope and joy to those who were also imprisoned? Would they have been able to save the life of the jailer? Would they have been able to speak and minister to the jailer and the jailer's family in such a way that all were baptized, that they, Paul and Silas, were served by having their wounds tended to? How would that have gone if they just sat in their cells, withdrawn? How might your faith life be if you didn't show up in it, if you didn't participate in it? I'd like to invite you to think about a time where your faith life has been challenging for you. And I wonder, for how many of you, coming to church, maybe you heard a song or a hymn or words in a prayer, or were spoken to by someone that helped you to see that there is indeed light in the darkness. I'd like to tell you a story about Beth. Is that okay with you? Good, because I told it last service. We've been to a lot of churches, some where I was serving and some where I wasn't. And every church has a little bit of a different style of worship. The first time that we came to this church, which, as you recall, was our second first Sunday, the first time that we came to this church service, we came to the end of the service and Beth was in tears. Because so many of the services we've been to just didn't feed her spiritually. She wanted to show up, and it just wasn't the right feeling, the right sense for her. And this first service here, she was in tears because it was a service between the music and the people, and maybe just a little bit the preaching, that she founded a place of a spiritual home, of joy, of love, of peace. And I want you to understand that that's not possible if we don't show up. You see, not only must we consider that when we come to church, we might impact someone in the way that they see light and hope and peace when sometimes it's been hard to find. We might put ourselves in that position where someone else has affected us that way, but we must also consider that we have that opportunity to affect others in that way. You see, when it comes to worship, we are not only folks who sit in our pews and receive wonderful music and maybe a few good words and prayers, but we are ones who are vital to the presence of God in this service. And I submit to you that our presence is not limited to this room. You see, I believe that God is present in all places, that God offers us opportunity to see God's work and experience God's love. And as we take that in, as we are strengthened and empowered, that we are called to go into the world to be God's presence. You see, we are filled with God's presence so we might be God's presence. We are filled with God's love so that we might be God's love. And so as we are in this time of stewardship, I invite you to make a commitment. A commitment of your presence. The kind of presence where you show up physically and spiritually and emotionally. The kind of presence where you might come and receive God's love and grace. And the kind of presence you might show up and give and embody God's love and grace. I invite you to make that commitment to support the ministries of this church with your presence. I'd like to close in a prayer. It's the same prayer we closed with our sermon last week. It's the Wesley Covenant prayer. It's a prayer where we give ourselves to God. The words are on the screen, and I invite you to pray with me. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee. exalted for thee or brought low by thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. As we move into a time of prayer, I remind you that it seems it's become our tradition here that the Lord's Prayer, as we sing on the first Sunday of the month on Communion Sunday, we sing the Lord's Prayer. And so don't worry, I'll lead you through it if you haven't done it before. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, remind us of your deep and intimate presence in all parts of the world. God, no, not only are you infinite in terms of your size, you are so infinite that you are not only far away, you are also close. Help us to be reminded of your infinite and intimate presence when we see brokenness in the world, when we see injury and illness, when we see and experience loss, when we see violence and fear and anger and hatred and prejudice. Remind us, God, that in all those places, you are already there and already at work. And so, God, when we celebrate newness, the newness of life, anniversaries of life and relationship, newness of family members reconnecting in the presence of your people here today, in our joy, let us not forget that you bring us together. In our joy, let us not forget that you bring all good things to light. And so we lift all of these things to you, Holy God, our Creator, as we sing together the prayer taught to us by your Son.